Now, let's continue to observe the other points in the ministry of Jesus. I'm going to follow the outline that you have. Point number two, turn back for a moment to Mark chapter 1, which is the starting point for much of what I want to say. Verses 24 and 25, there in that incident in the synagogue, it says, there was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. The voice came out of the man, but it was not the man who was speaking. This is very clear. And what was said was this, let us alone. The one that was speaking not only on behalf of himself, but on behalf of a group. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Immediately they saw in Jesus their potential destroyer. I know thee. Notice how it switches from singular to plural and back again, which is a familiar feature of this type of utterance. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. You see, the evil spirit knew Jesus immediately. No one else in that synagogue had yet realized who he was, but the evil spirit immediately identified him. Here is a different kind of perception, a different kind of knowledge. We're not on the natural plane. We're on a spiritual plane, a supernatural plane, and we have a direct clash between Jesus and not the man in whom the spirit was, but the spirit that was in the man. I have sometimes said that in an ordinary church service today, what they'd have done was put the man out of the synagogue for disturbing the service. But what Jesus did was put the demon out of the man and leave the man in the synagogue. But notice that there was a conversation, direct conversation, exchange, question and answer between Jesus and the evil spirits. They spoke to him and he spoke to them. Again in Mark chapter 3, we find another example of this. It says, Mark 3 verses 11 and 12, unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him. You notice, of course, that it was the people that fell down to the outward eye, but the scripture says the spirits fell down. Of course, they couldn't fall down without the people falling down, but it was not really the people falling down, it was the spirits falling down in the presence of the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, they cried out, saying, Thou art the Son of God. Notice, they always knew instantly who he was. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. He would not accept the testimony of Satan's agents to his identity. See, he would not accept that testimony, though they gave it. And then the dramatic incident in Mark chapter 5, the conversation between Jesus and the man who's usually called the Gadarene demoniac, the demoniac from Gadara. And we'll read there verses 6 through 13. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he, Jesus, said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Notice again, Jesus did not speak to the man. He spoke to the spirit in the man, and the spirit in the man answered Jesus, not the man, because the man was not afraid of being tormented by Jesus, but it was the demon that was afraid of being tormented. And verse 9, he asked him, What is thy name? Jesus asked the spirit, What is thy name? And he answered, My name is Legion, for we are many. Notice again the transition from singular to plural and back again, which is very, very typical. Now, a legion in the Roman army consisted of approximately 6,000 men. We don't necessarily have to maintain that there were 6,000 evil spirits in the one man, though personally, to me, it is possible to believe that. But at least the rest of the story shows us there were enough evil spirits to drive 2,000 pigs immediately down into the lake. And I never read this story without marveling at how much of satanic power a human being is able to cope with and somehow remain standing upright. To me, it's a miracle. And I have seen cases that are not unlike this and dealt with them. It's verse 10, he, the evil spirit, besought him, Jesus, much that he would not send them away out of the country. Fantastic, but that was where they felt at home. That's where they wanted to be. And besought him much indicates that there was more than one word said. In other words, there was a conversation lasting at least a little time. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the demons besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. We see here that Jesus dealt with these evil spirits as persons. He spoke to them as persons. They answered him as persons. There was a conversation between them. And eventually he gave them leave to do what they besought him to do, which was to enter into the swine. People often ask, why do you think that he allowed them to go into the swine? Was it because he was opposed to pig keeping, which of course was not permitted to Orthodox Jews? Personally, I don't believe Jesus was so much interested in defending the Orthodox observance of the law of Moses. My personal opinion, and it is only an opinion, is that Jesus allowed those evil spirits to go into the swine because then they went out without destroying the man. Had they gone out totally unwillingly, I question whether that man could have survived what he would have had to go through physically. So it was for the sake of the man that Jesus gave them a way out that they were willing to accept. However, having said this, I just want to emphasize that I do not believe there's any pattern in Scripture for holding lengthy conversations with evil spirits, and it's a dangerous practice. I would warn anybody against it, because it eventually will lead to more or less consulting them, and that, in a certain sense, degenerates into witchcraft, or the same as seeking to a medium. So we have to be very, very much on our guard that we do not overstep the limits of prudence and wisdom, and that everything we do, we don't do for the sake of a morbid fascination with this form of supernatural experience, but for the sake of helping those that need help. All right, we'll move on to the third point in our outline, Mark 1:26. You'll notice that we go back to Mark 1 most of the time. This is again the incident of the man in the synagogue Capernaum. When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Notice there was a very powerful physical reaction. The unclean spirit tore the man. Having seen this happen many, many times, to me it pictures a person's body being shaken, and you can almost, with the inward eye, see the tentacles being released from within the man. I've often said to the spirits, come out with all your roots. And sometimes you almost have to loose the roots out where they're holding on to the inner being of that person. And it is a very agonizing and powerful struggle. And there was also a loud cry. He cried with a loud voice. Some people say, well, how could it be if Jesus was Lord of all that he tolerated this? And I'll just have to point out, this is the way it was. There was an open clash. You see, demons deliberately defy God. They're never going to make peace with God. They know they're beyond the realm of God's reconciliation. They know they're going to hell, but they'll fight until they get there. They will never submit. And there's one thing they will never acknowledge, that Jesus Christ is Lord. They'll call him the Son of God. They'll call him the Holy One of God, but they will never call him Lord, because Satan will not permit them to call anybody Lord but Satan. Notice other places where there were strong physical reactions. We've already read Mark 3:11. Unclean spirits fell down before him. This is not, of course, a comical subject, but sometimes extremely comical things happen. I was preaching in a church in Houston at the end of a Bible study that had nothing to do with demons. And I don't know what I said. I said something about the sufferings of Christ. I don't know. But a woman came up to me, and I looked at her, and I knew there was something strange about her. And she was trying to point out something to me, and she was stabbing at me with her finger in the air and saying, but the sufferings of Christ, she said about three times. And I said, sister, you have a religious demon. And she slid to the floor in a sitting position at my feet. And I was talking to an unconverted man, a rather high social position, so I thought, better ignore this incident and just carry on as if it didn't happen. So I went on talking, and the woman went outside to the book table, and two friends of mine, whom I will not name because it's on a tape, but they were selling my books outside, and somebody said, the spirit of grief. And when this word was said, this woman that had slid to my feet inside let out a most blood-curdling shriek and slipped to the floor. And they spent the next 2.5 hours dealing with this woman in the vestibule of the church. So much so that at one point a policeman came in, said, is there anything wrong? And they said, no, it's quite all right. And he said, well, I wish there was something I could do. They said, no, this is not where you can help. So he went out again apologetically. But when I think about the unclean spirits falling down before him, see, you could read that in a nice Elizabethan King James Version and it wouldn't mean anything to you, but when you really picture it happening vividly, you'll understand it's a little bit unusual. It slightly upsets the average run of the normal service, whether it be a synagogue or a church. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 20, we find a further description of physical manifestations. This is the what is normally called the epileptic boy whose father brought him to Jesus. And it says, they brought him, the boy, unto him, Jesus. And when he, the spirit, saw him, Jesus, straightway the spirit tore him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. In other words, he was writhing on the ground and froth was coming out of his mouth. And then it says in verse 26 and 27, of the same boy, when he was delivered, the spirit cried or shrieked and rent him or tore him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. This also I have seen happen several times where a person after deliverance looks exactly like a dead body. And a person walking in without knowing what had happened would certainly have said just what these people said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Now, we might turn on out of the ministry of Jesus into the ministry of the church in Acts chapter 8 for a moment, just to notice that these manifestations continued on in the ministry of the church. It says about the preaching of Philip in Samaria, verses 6 and 7 of Acts chapter 8, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. So there were many unclean spirits, and they came out shrieking, roaring, groaning, but making a very loud noise. Brother Don Basham and I were in deliverance service once, not so very long ago, and there was another dear brother there, a Pentecostal brother, whom I very much love, but who wasn't familiar with this type of thing, and he rather disapproved of what went on when we were ministering deliverance. So later on, he said to us, now, where in the New Testament do you ever see a service like that? My good brother Don Basham said very quietly, well, Acts chapter 8, verse 7 is a pretty vivid description. And you know, afterwards, I didn't say it, but I wanted to say to this good brother, who was what I would call an Orthodox Pentecostal, where in the New Testament do you ever see anything remotely approaching the Sunday evening gospel service, which we all take for granted? And I'll challenge anybody to look through the New Testament and find anything even like it, because you can't do it. It isn't there. Much of what we consider normal and orthodox really has nothing in the New Testament to support it. And much that's supported by the New Testament appears to us abnormal and extraordinary because we're so far removed from New Testament patterns and New Testament standards. The fact is that when Jesus ministered deliverance to people with evil spirits, there were frequently violent, noisy, and I would say disturbing manifestations. And Jesus did not stop them. He didn't stop because of them. He didn't seek to maintain religious decorum and order. He was concerned with helping the people that needed help. I have been through a good deal of this in personal experience. There have been places where people were more concerned to keep the carpet clean than to get the evil spirits out of people. This is the kind of religious decorum which becomes an idol.